y'all. It's Dr. Tamika Scott. Welcome to Baseline and Boundaries, a Mindset Revolution, the podcast where leadership meets mindset transformation. And today we're going to dive into the beautiful world. I'm being sarcastic. No, I'm not. The world of trauma, perception, the expectations, and the grace that's needed. Before we dive into today's topic, I want to share a moment of reflection that struck me deeply this morning as I was taking my kiddos to school. I was listening to the radio and found myself listening to a conversation about a celebrity who was sharing their experience. One of the hosts repeatedly labeled the celebrity's experience as traumatic. But it got me thinking, like, what if it wasn't traumatic for them? Why is that the label if the celebrity hasn't identified it as traumatic? Sure enough, shortly after that impromptu thought, the celebrity himself shared how he sought therapy because others had labeled his experience as traumatic, leaving him questioning whether something was wrong with him. It's this powerful story that highlights the very essence of today's discussion. The subjective narrative of trauma and the importance of understanding that what may be traumatic for one may not hold the same weight for another. In this episode, we're going to explore the concept further and discuss why it's critical to redefine our expectations and extend grace towards others in their journey of healing and growth. So whether you've found yourself questioning the validity of your own experience or you're eager to gain deeper understanding of the dynamics of trauma, this episode is for you. So get ready to challenge perspectives, redefine boundaries, and embrace the power of grace as we embark on this transformative revolution mindset experience. Let's go. In today's world, with all the things that are going on, the word trauma holds a place, but it's often thrown around without much consideration for its subjective nature. What that means is that trauma is not a one-size-fits-all experience. Furthermore, trauma interpretation, my friend, is a unique experience. It's as unique as our fingerprints. It's influenced by a multitude of factors, from our personal backgrounds to our cultural upbringing to societal influences and norms, and I would even say our birth order. So just think about it. Two individuals can undergo the exact same event and come out with vastly different interpretations of what happened. One may view it as deeply traumatic, while the other brushes it off as merely an inconvenience. Think about it. If you are someone who watches shows like Law and Order, you then know that a lot of times if there's like a bank robbery, when they interview the people, they don't interview them as a group. They interview them individually because they want to get each person's perspective of what happened. It's also the same when you think about like an investigation and there's this sort of narrative or ideal of how you're supposed to respond. I'm thinking of a documentary where they were recording this young lady talk about what just happened or transpired with the death of her, her mother being shot and her father being shot as well. And, you know, some people will read the body language and say, oh, she didn't cry enough or she didn't show empathy in her face. Those are all our perceptions. And some of that is to some degree has been researched. And so there's some truth to it. But there's other aspects of it that are just our perception. How we respond to something may differ. And there's a variety of different reasons why it will differ. And so we have to be mindful of that. This variability in trauma perception can be contributed to a variety of different factors. Our past experience, beliefs, other traumatic experiences we've had, coping mechanisms we've developed, all play a pivotal role in shaping how we perceive and how we process traumatic events. Perfect example. I hate spiders, and I say that very strong. And the reason being is, now it took me a while, so if you've known me or you've listened to other trainings, I typically use the spider example more than once. And what the reality is, as an adult, I understood that I had a, to some degree, phobia of spiders. I absolutely do not like them for all the right reasons. And I never really understood why I had such a phobia towards spiders. It wasn't until I was at the doctor's office and happened to be reading some childhood records of mine. And in one of my childhood records, it was noted that I got bit by a spider near my eye area when I was a child. That experience as a child, that experience for me was clearly, my definition was traumatic. And as a result, how I move about the cabin when I see a spider now is based off of that experience that I had in childhood. Now, someone else could have been bitten by a spider in their childhood, and they have developed different coping mechanisms and had different experiences tied to that. And they may not have a phobia as an adult of spiders. Again, same thing holds true. How about we even just take an example from the scenario, like from the scenario I talked about earlier with the celebrity on the radio. While one person may label their experience as traumatic, the individual themselves may not view it through that same lens. It's this sort of disconnect between external perceptions and internalized experiences that can lead folks feeling confused and doubting their own understanding of what happened from their perspective. So just because others perceive something as traumatic doesn't invalidate our own experiences. Your truth is valid, regardless of how others may interpret it. So you may be wondering, Tamika, okay, so how do we navigate this complexity of trauma perception? Well, I think it really starts with acknowledging the diversity of the human experience and embracing the power of empathy and understanding. It's by recognizing that trauma looks different for everyone. We can foster a culture of compassion and support where individuals feel safe to share their stories without fear of judgment or invalidation. All right, so now that we've talked about the intricacies of trauma perception, let's talk about the vital components of redefining expectations and extending some grace. So I want you to think about this. You're going through a challenging time, and everyone around you seems to label it as traumatic. What's traumatic for one person might not have the same impact on another. It's a reality we just cannot ignore, and we should not be mislabeling individuals' experiences. Ouch, I've done it too. And that's why when I was listening to the guy on the radio and that question came up, I was just like, oh, yeah, what if it's not trauma? Now, let me tell you why I strongly believe this is essential for shaking up our own expectations. Because society often tries to fit people into a neat little box, expecting everyone to react the same way to trauma. But that's not simply realistic. Each individual's healing journey is unique. And it's critical that we recognize and respect that simple complexity of diversity. And this is why we need to be extending grace. and why I really believe that that is the most critical aspect of this conversation. When we approach others with empathy and understanding, we're creating a supportive environment where folks can feel safe to be vulnerable with us. But let us not forget to extend the same grace towards ourselves. It's okay to struggle and not have all the answers or doing all the things. What's important is that we are showing ourselves kindness, compassion as we navigate our own experiences at different times, at different places, and at different stages. What is a "it wasn't a big thing today" might be traumatic in 2 weeks. And that's okay. It's your experience. It's your label. But here's the thing. Here's something that I also believe to be very vital as it relates to us redefining expectations and definitions and the importance of extending grace, is that once you've identified whatever it is you've defined trauma as being, or any other word, right? How you've redefined the definition of success, or how you've redefined your career. These are all definitions that have been redefined, that you get to redefine. And the same way that you got to redefine them, you made the decision to redefine them, it is important that you share your new definitions and expectations to the people who you want them to know about it, right? So if you have a new definition of what trauma is, you could say trauma to me is spiders. And if that is your traumatic experience, then individuals move about the cabin knowing that spiders will spark a point of trauma for you and could initiate a trauma response out of you. Same way for success, right? If you redefine success, you could share that with your partner or your family or your supervisor, whomever, to say, this is what success looks like for me now. And that definition can change. The same way if a traumatic experience happened and you initially label it as traumatic and you give the reasons why you've labeled it as traumatic for yourself, if you go through a journey and you say that, yes, it was a traumatic experience, but I've healed and I've moved on, then that's important that you share what the new definition of traumatic is, right? So if a spider as a child was traumatic and as an adult, it's no longer traumatic, you can make that change. You can make that shift. Just make sure you're telling the people who are important to you about the change in definition and around the expectations you have around that definition. So I just really think that the easiest solution, if I was offering one, would be to just not label folks. Let individuals tell you it's traumatic instead of you telling them it's traumatic, unless you are like clinically trained to do that work. And trust me, it's easy to be like, oh, that was so traumatic for you. Oh, that sounds like it was a horrible experience for you. Or even something like, oh, you need to get some tough skin about this. Those are our perceptions that we put out into the universe and onto people. And we just need to be, myself included, a little bit more mindful of the words that we choose to use and the perceptions of our expectations or our reality that we then push out on other people. They might actually, our definitions of things might not actually fit someone else's definition. So how do we cultivate empathy and understanding in our interactions with other? I think it really starts with what I shared a little bit earlier, listening, active listening. When someone is sharing their experiences with us, it's vital to listen with an open mind and heart, without judgment or assumptions. And that's easier said than done, because I strongly believe that we all are judgmental to a certain degree. And if you disagree, it's okay. But it's important that we are trying to be as intentional as possible with just listening without judgment or assumptions. I like to call this creating safe spaces for the folks near and dear, or that I don't totally are not near and dear, to have a space to be able to share their truth, feel heard and feel valued. Because this is what I've learned throughout my life so far, is that everyone who shares their story with you isn't looking for your advice. They might not even be looking for an answer from you, which to some degree is your advice. Sometimes folks, a lot of times folks, just want to feel heard, right? So before you jump to the expert and have all the answers, just listen. Or better yet, ask the question, right? We practice this with our kiddos all the time when they're sharing stories with us, in particular as it relates to like stuff that happens at school. What role do you want me to play? Right? As you're sharing your story, what role do you want me to play? Do you want me to just be the listening ear? Right? Do you want me to be just the listening ear? Do you want me to respond on your behalf? Do you want me to advocate for you? Or do you want me to provide you with some suggestions or strategies or how to move forward with whatever that you're experiencing? And a lot of times, many times, they just want us to listen, an opportunity to vent, and that's fine. We all need it. But just imagine if every time someone came and shared with you their story, your default is to give an answer. Smash. Not a good look, in my opinion. I would say that it's also very important to validate. Acknowledging someone's experiences and feelings as valid and real can be incredibly empowering to that person. It shows that we see and hear them. It helps to validate their emotions and their experiences. But let us not also forget that depending on the context and depending on the role that you're playing, there may be times where you need to address thought errors. So you can validate an emotion and an experience, but you can question a thought that does not have validity and or is just simply wrong, right? There's a difference. And it's also important that we not forget about self-compassion. As we have conversations about trauma and the need to support others in their healing journey, it's essential to practice our own self-compassion. This means being gentle with ourselves. Be kind to yourself. Acknowledge your own limitations, right? I remember there was a time where I was in a healing process and there were certain things that I was like, I don't want to talk about this. So in all aspects, after said time, I don't want to talk about this. And in the right places with the right folks, people understood it. And people who respected it did just that. And people who did not respect it or did not understand it, I was faced with a decision to make. And that decision was, do I continue to create and entertain this space that is not serving me? Or do I decide to leave? And in most cases, I would decide to leave because I was on a healing journey. And that journey didn't need to be explained by anybody. There was an expectation that I had set for myself, and it was shared with individuals. I do not want to talk about said topics after said time. You either got it or you didn't. Based off you getting it or not getting it, Tamika was going to move about the cabin. That's the work that we have to do. And that requires us to be gentle with ourselves, show ourselves compassion, advocate for ourselves, acknowledging our own limitations, and definitely seeking support when it's needed. And then finally, let's talk about education and awareness around this topic. The more we educate ourselves about trauma and its impact, the better equipped we are to support others in their healing journey. This includes understanding the signs of trauma. If you're looking for signs of trauma, I have a webinar on it. Knowing how to respond effectively and advocating for trauma-informed practices in our communities, in our workspaces, and even in our homes, because that's important. it's important that we are normalizing the diversity of our shared experiences. And it's important that we are normalizing the diversity in how we need to share information and the lived experiences that we have around sharing that information. So let's begin to normalize a lot of things, because we can definitely navigate the trauma dynamics, especially from the lens of resilience and compassion, one conversation at a time. So you may be wondering, well, Tamika, what about when things get tough? And that's the perfect example of where self-care comes in. And as I'm like saying that, I have a perfect example of a time when I knew that I was emotionally drained, and many individuals around me, we were going through something as a unit that was very traumatic. No joke. And there were obvious signs that we were all drained, and yet we kept pushing. And I reflected with my therapist on it, and I was just like, I really wish that I could have just taken a pause and said a hard no to a couple things, because I knew that we had pushed our limits. And that is like the importance of understanding why boundaries are so needed, because we shouldn't have to always push, right? Pushing can burn you out. Pushing can lead to devastation. And so it's important that when our mind and our body, our heart and our soul is telling us, like, it's pulling on you, it's telling you, take a break, hear yourself, support yourself, advocate for yourself, and take that break. Create that boundary. And again, boundaries are not walls. They, you know, you have the option to open and close them and redefine them as often as you want. And for many folks, they will respect that boundary. And for those who don't respect the boundary, it's okay. It's totally okay. But you still move about the cabin. Because the boundary is for you. It truly has nothing to do with them. All right. So of course I wouldn't be Tamika if I didn't give you some practical strategies on how we can navigate trauma dynamics with some resilience and compassion. So again, earlier we discussed the significance of defining trauma, setting expectations and fostering open communication and having empathy. Now let's take it even one step further. How do we apply these concepts or principles to our everyday lives? So first things first, I think it's important to talk about the power of self-awareness. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but understanding how trauma affects us individually is key to navigating its dynamics effectively. We have to be able to recognize our own triggers, our coping mechanisms, and our boundaries. This will empower us to respond to challenging situations with grace and resilience, right? You had to clean up our own backyards. I don't know if that's a song, but I feel like it should be. We also then need to talk about the importance of boundaries. So we talked about this a little bit around expectations, but with expectations, there has to be an important understanding of boundaries. And setting healthy boundaries is essential for protecting our emotional well-being and maintaining healthy relationships. So whether it's saying no to commitments that drain us, or speaking up when our boundaries are crossed. Boundaries, they empower us to prioritize our needs and honor our truth. Taking time to prioritize our physical, emotional, and mental well-being is critical for building resilience and maintaining it. And also with coping with trauma. So whether it's practicing mindfulness, engaging in hobbies or activities that we have an interest or a passion or a love in, or you seek support from loved ones or clinically trained folks or some other self-care providers or resources. They're all powerful tools that can be very beneficial in our healing and our growth journey. And we should definitely be tapping into them. And let us not forget about the power of community. Surrounding yourself with supportive individuals who uplift and empower you can definitely make all the difference in our healing journeys. So whether it's a friend, family, support group, someone who's trained in this line of work, having a strong support system can provide comfort, validation, and strength during difficult times. But I also want to say this. Don't let that be the only reason that you reach out to your community, because that in itself is taxing, right? If the only time your community hears from you is during your points of trauma or trauma response, then that is a level of misuse of your community, period. Ooh, we child, we talked about a lot today. We covered a lot of ground around trauma, and all from a celebrity sharing their experience on the radio station. A whole podcast episode is created. Guys, if you've enjoyed this content or you want to hear more content related to all the things, by all means, feel free to connect with me and share ideas or insight that you are looking for, and maybe I'll put it in one of my next podcast episodes. Again, thank you so very much for tuning in to today's episode of Baseline and Boundaries, a Mindset Revolution. I hope you found today's content and my discussion and my moments of my own self-reflection encouraging and a point of reflection for you. I wish you all the best, and I hope that you are able to apply some of these insights to your own life so that we could all continue our own journey towards healing and mindset transformation for our own growth. So until next time, keep elevating your thinking and embracing your greatness, because we are doing this as a revolution.